This month we are looking at flourish.
Amen to Jesus.
I won't necessarily talk about flourish this morning because early this morning I felt God was asking me to go in this direction. So I'll kind of do something that was not my earlier preparation in our discussion this morning. Because we owe God thanks. We owe God thanks. Tell your neighbor, say, I owe God thanks. Say, I owe God thanks. I want you to open your Bibles to, I'll read two openings, walk through them a little bit, and then I'll really give us opportunity to thank God this morning. Psalm 103, I'll read from verse 1 to verse 5. Then I'll also read Psalm 100 from verse 1 to verse 5. If you want to title what I'm speaking about this morning, you can call it thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And we're saying thank you to God. We're saying thank you to Jesus. Psalm 103. From verse 1 to 5. The Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all your iniquities, who healeth all your diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Psalm 100 from verse 1 to 5. Psalm 100 from verse 1 to 5. The Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Okay, that was the rehearsal. Now let's do it. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Hallelujah. Verse 2 says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that he is the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gate with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Thank you. This morning in our workers' meeting, and by the way, if you serve in any team in this church, you need to be coming to workers' meeting. Amen? The brother told us that he's speaking for himself, so me, I want to speak for myself. You need to be coming to workers' meeting. He said two things that caught my fancy. I speak for myself that, you know, he said, kept saying many things. And he was saying, I speak for myself. When it comes to saying thank you, when it comes to being grateful to God, it is a personal choice. In Psalm 103, if you start reading from that verse 1, he said, bless the Lord, not our soul, but my soul. I need you to understand the power of a personal choice in gratitude. One of the reasons many people are not grateful is that they are trying to be grateful collectively. I cannot be grateful at the same level that you are grateful. I cannot thank God the same way you will thank God. I know what he has done for me. And so many a time, if you really, really want to get into being thankful, you have to be personal. You cannot be general. You cannot be, you know, all over the place. You have to be specific. You have to speak for yourself. You have to stand for yourself. Even sometimes you cannot be family. There is a place where the house of Aaron will praise the Lord, where the house of Benjamin will praise the Lord, where the house of Adewale will praise the Lord. But there is a place where it will be blessed the Lord, oh my soul. And let me tell you the truth. In this world, many good things takes intentionality. In this world, many good things are not on automatic. In this world, many good things don't just happen. If there is anything that just happened, it is the bad things. What just happens is complaint. It is very easy to complain. You don't need to decide that this September I'm going to complain. You don't need to decide that. Don't worry. If you want to complain this September, just don't make any decision. The default decision is that you will complain. You don't need to say this September I will worry. If you do not make any conscious choice, you are going to worry. But when it comes to good things, hear me and hear me very clearly. Many good things takes intentionality. It will take intentionality for you to be kind. It will take intentionality for you to speak well of people. It will take intentionality for you to do the things that the Word of God told you to do. It will take intentionality for you to love your wife as the Scripture has commanded you. It will take intentionality for you, wife, to submit to your husband as unto the Lord. It will take intentionality for you to obey your parents in the Lord. It will take intentionality. Many good things will take intentionality. And because it will take intentionality, many people are not doing what they are supposed to do because they have not decided that they are going to do it. And so this morning, this message is a reminder. There is a decision still on the table. There is a decision that you still need to make. There is a decision you need to make again and again. Even if you have made it before, you need to make it again and again. The psalmist will wake up in the morning and say, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I am making a decision that this is the day of God. I am making a decision before I go into my day that this day, it is not God and the devil. It is not God and my boss. It is not God and the situation. It is not God and yesterday or the problem of yesterday. This is the day that the Lord has made. It is a decision that I have believed that I will receive and I will walk in the reality of that." I'm saying this morning, there is a decision for you and I to make. And that decision is to say to your soul, "Bless the Lord, oh my soul." There are many times you have to tell and talk to yourself. It is good to talk to people. It is good to talk to God. But many times, so that you're talking to God, your praise to God will be very effectual, you have to first do a self-talk. You have to talk to yourself. You have to talk to yourself. You have to tell yourself and say, "My soul, let us praise God. My soul, let us magnify the Lord." The psalmist in this place seemingly was talking to himself because it is not automatic. And I'm saying to you in this month of this September that you have to tell yourself, "Bless the Lord, oh my soul." You have to tell yourself to bless God even when your soul does not want to go in that direction. And let me tell you, when you decide, when you will, your feeling will follow you. Most people want to feel to do, but if you will to do, you will feel what you have will to do. Most people want to feel to be kind. I want to feel good to be kind to them. I want to feel like they love me so that I can love them. Sometimes you have to will to love them so that they will now feel to love you, or you now feel to love them. If there is anything that you see in the ministry of Jesus, Jesus was not emotional in that sense. He didn't let his decision be based on emotionalism. He made sure his decisions were more on the will of God. If the will of God says it, he aligns himself with it rather than being emotional. There was a time his parents were looking for him and they found him in the temple. You would have thought that he would be emotional and very family. He told his mom, he said, "Look, I must be about my heavenly father's business because that's why I came. I'm not emotional to say that, you know, I want to do social things." And he wasn't against it. In fact, when he says, "I must be about my father's business," in that statement, after he said it, he followed them. He was just trying to say, "I have a decision. I walk with the will of God rather than my emotions." And let me tell you, if you want to go far in God, if you want to do exploit for God, you have to let your will, especially your will based on the will of God, dictate your life. You can't go by emotions. We just pray for married people here. I can tell you for free, there's no marriage that every day you feel the same way you felt the day you married that person. Hello? If I'm speaking to you, if you are married, hello. Because the way some people just said the hi, like, Pastor, you're on your own. We are together. I'm saying that there are days. You know, sometimes when I'm hyping my wife, she say, I'm hyping her. I'm hyping you the day that I can hype you now. Because there are some other days. There are some other days. We were still joking yesterday. I said, you don't really frown. You don't have a stern face. You know, some of us have a very stern face. Even sometimes when I'm happy, but I'm still looking like I'm not happy. But my wife is always looking very smiley and all of that. I said, do you get angry a little bit? She was like, in my mind, I was like, I don't know. We are being this out together now. I can't know. Sometimes I'll just say hi. And she'll say hi. I say, is everything okay? She'll say everything okay. She'll say everything is okay. I say, it's okay, but. Because there's a but after that, everything's okay. So all of us, these married people, we know. There are days we don't feel it all. We don't even. And sometimes it's not one day. It's consecutive days. But even in those days, because we are willing. Thank God, I like that in the vows. And that's why it's good to take the vows in church. In addition with the vow you want to write. The one in church. Because there's something that one. That after they say, they'll say, I do. Eh? Hello? So they didn't say, I feel. Oh. They say, well, I do. That's a decision of my will. I have put my will on the line over and above my feeling. Because if you make your will, especially your will that is subjected to the will of God, overrule your feeling, you'll live a better life. Because feelings are flaky. Feelings come and go. There are days that you will feel good. Even in the presence of, you know, some people, even in their relationship with God, they want to do feeling. There are sometimes when I come to this church, I feel the presence of the Holy Ghost. But if I go by the feeling of the presence of the Holy Ghost alone, there are days I feel nothing. There are days I'm telling you, I feel. In fact, I'm kneeling down there. I'm like, God, you have to help me today. I have the notes. I have written my notes, but I don't feel anything. There's no feeling, nothing. I'm just going to read the word of God from A to B. There's no feeling. And in some of those days, when there is no feeling, when there is no anything, somebody will now come and say, Pastor, he says, so. I say, how can that happen when I didn't feel? One of the things you will help yourself with is that my will is greater than my feeling. Make your feeling follow your will. Don't make your will to follow your feeling. I feel like the boy loves me. Let your will, especially the will of God. That's why the Bible says, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why? If your will is done, we will have the good feelings. God is not against emotions. He's not against, you know, people having pleasure, people having feelings. And, you know, because sometimes when we speak like this, some people think God wants to take away the fun out of life. He doesn't want to. He wants to give you all good things to enjoy. So from this scripture we see, now when it comes to thanksgiving, when it comes to appreciating God, the first thing that you and I need to do is make conscious decision. Is to make personal decision. So this morning, we are not just going to praise God as a church. You are going to praise God. You are going to celebrate. You are the one that knows your story. You are the one that knows how you got to where you are. You are the one that can remember 10 years ago. You are the one that remembered what happened to you when you didn't have the child. You are the one that remembered what happened to you when you didn't have the wife. And Lord God Almighty, I like going memory lane. I like remembering that there was a day that was not like today. I like remembering that there was one day I will open the free refrigerator in this Chicago, not another city, this same Chicago, and the place will be very barren. It will be desert. I will look at it from top to bottom as if I put something inside there and there will be nothing there. The fridge will be speaking back to me and say, nothing. You know this, I don't know, emoji. You know the emoji, the emoji. Emoji. Is it emoji? That doesn't sound like this. I don't know. That's how the fridge will do to me. Just, I don't know. You didn't put food here. Why are you looking for food where you didn't put food? And I will be, in my heart, I'll be like, this is America, a land of plenty. Why is there no food in the fridge? So when I go now, because in our fridge now at home, I need a guide, a tour guide. I'll say, where is so and so? They'll say, it's there. I say, I can't find it. They will now help me find it. If I see the days where there's more than enough, I should not forget the days where there was less than enough. And I like the way Psalm 100 says it. He said, it is God who made us. It is God who made us. It is not we ourselves. Many people thought God created us and left us. No. Every time you are being made, it is still God. It is God that made you because you, when you got married. It is God that made you when you had the child. It is God that made you when you didn't have a job and now you have a job. It is not you yourself. That is what God is trying to get to you. So you will be personal in your praise when you recognize that it is God that makes. It is God that makes. Everything that is made, it is God that made. Everything is the one that is at work. Yes, you were the one that showed up for the interview, but he was the one still making it. Yes, you were the one in the delivery room, but it was the God still making it. Yes, you were the one that said, I do, but it was the God that was still making it. Yes, you were the one that put in the application and got the job, so to say, but it was the God that was making it. And anytime you have the consciousness that you are not the maker, he is the maker, it will lead into a personal choice of giving thanks to God. This morning we want to say thank you. I want you to understand that you have to say that thank you by yourself. Why does God need personal thank you? Because he has done things to you personally. He has touched you personally. The psalmist gave some reasons here that could enable people to cultivate this attitude of coming to God with a thank you. In that Psalm 103, it says, bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not his benefit. How can I be very individualistic in my thank you? How can I come before God and give him the quality thanks that I should give him? It's to remember. It's to remember. People soon forget. Men, we have short memory. We have very short memory. Some people are putting pressure on God. Where is God? Where is God? Where is God? This is 2025. This person that say, where is God? Where is God? They've forgotten what happened in 2020. In those days of COVID, they were just thinking to themselves, God, if I make it out of this COVID thing, because they were just seeing things like this. People on their side, they knew this person that caught COVID and the person didn't recover. They knew that person that caught COVID. That same person, this is still 5 years. 5 years. And they speak as if God has never done anything. I have met people before that will say, God hasn't done me anything before. Short memory. God has not done you anything before. You forgot the day you were choking. The day you drank water and it went the wrong way. The day you were eating and you sneezed and it went the wrong way. The day you hit your leg on something and the wound was not healing. You forgotten so quickly. You forgot that day when it was a very close call. It was a close call. It was less than 2 seconds. If you didn't move in 2 seconds, if there was a 2 seconds delay, you would have had an accident and you would have made it. You have forgotten that so quickly. This morning he's saying to you, when you are telling your soul, bless the Lord, oh my soul, don't forget his benefits. Don't forget. I like the fact that he says all his benefits. That means name them. Name them. Write them down. Put them down. Let me challenge some of us. In this month of September, why don't you raise a testimony journal? Some of you have prayer request file. It's like a file. If God were to show up in best, I say, oh, yeah, sit down. By the time God finishes with you, some people would have died. Why? Because he won't have time for them. You will engage him completely. You just say, sit down. Oh, God, I've been looking for you, oh God. Now, see, you are going to the prayer request you have is even more than a nation's own. And there's nothing wrong with that. We have a good father. He listens to his children's prayer. But sir, can you also have a testimony journal? Can you have a place where you are testifying and noting what he has done? Because let me tell you the truth. If you can find God yesterday, you won't miss him tomorrow. If you can find him yesterday, you will see him in tomorrow. That's the technology of the psalmist, especially David. You know, several people wrote the Psalms. But David, he knew how to trace God. If he's looking for God now, he won't look for God now. He will go back and find the God that showed up before. Because if you can find the God that showed up before, you will find the God that needs to show up now, because it's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday. If it's not the same yesterday, it can't be the same today. But if it's the same yesterday, he will be the same today, and he'll be the same forever. Find him yesterday, you'll see him today. Look at your yesterday. Sometimes you have to look back to go forward. The best step sometimes you take is go memory lane, drive through memory lane, and see that God has not been absent, and see that God has been present. And let me tell you the truth, if you know how to stoke, if you know how to praise, if you know how to brood over what has been done, before you know it, another one will catch you. There's an African adage that I grew up with. They will say, it is the destiny of one child that brings another child. I hope I got that. I'm trying to transliterate now. You know, what they are trying to say is that there is something about what has happened before. There is something about precedence. In law, one of the ways lawyers win a case is to find the precedence. They want to find out where this case has happened before and what has been done. So if they find the precedence that somebody had an immigration problem and this was how it was judged, and it was judged in the favor, they will now go to that precedence and say, because it has been done before, we are praying this court, and they use those words sometimes, we pray this court to grant us our request based on the precedence. I'm saying this morning that God, through the psalmist, is saying there is a technology to bring God into the present, and that technology is look for a precedence. Where did God show up before? When David saw Goliath, David did not deal with the present Goliath alone. He told Goliath, I have other Goliaths that God has dealt with. They don't go by the name Goliath, but name does not matter. Victory is victory. If God won, he won. If he solved the battle, he solved the battle. If he gave me a testimony, he gave me a testimony. A testimony can bat another testimony. You had it this morning. A guy had a testimony last week, and he did like that. The same way that testimony happened to that person is happening to him. So if I find a testimony yesterday, what did God do yesterday? God brought me to the United States against all odds. I make noise about it. I brood over it. I think about it. God, you brought me. Look at where you brought me. Look at my number. Look at my birth number. Now I'm not, I don't even have a number in my family, but now I look like number one. If you brought me this far, you can't leave me alone. You have taken me so many miles. Look at how many miles. I flew in. I went to the immigration officer. They saw me. They didn't send me home. Why would they now send me home now when I'm physically in the country? No liar, no lion can roar at me. I will not allow the threat that is going on the news to roar at me. If I scale Muritara, well, sorry, I'm using that country. But if I scale that place, I will kill this one in the name of Jesus. If God has done it before, he will do it again. Thank you. Thank you. I find him. I find him. I find what he has done before. I make a big deal about it. I make a big, and believe me, it's a big deal. Let me tell you the truth. God has done enough that if he doesn't do more, he has still done well. I'm telling you, God has done enough. Let's even look at 2025. 9 over 12 in every school is you will pass. And you didn't even pass, you are in distinction. And God already has scored 9 over 12. I can give him the 3 months already. I can be confident if he has done 9 over 12, he will do 12 over 12. I won't let one funny October, November, December put pressure on me, or anybody, whether elected, selected, ordained, or whatever, to put any pressure on me. I won't watch the 9 o'clock news and be under pressure. When I have read the news, I have read the good news. I have seen what he has done before. And if he has done it before, he will do it again. You may not know how, you may not know when, but he will do it again. Why? He has done it before. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. I make a personal decision that I will bless God. And why? What will sponsor that decision? I will remember benefits. One of the things I'm praying for you this morning is that God will bring a remembrance to you. God will cause you to remember. Oh, I remember things. Sometimes I'm in my house and I remember when I was in primary school. Sometimes I'm in my house and I remember the days I didn't have food to eat. Sometimes I'm in my house and I remember the days there was a particular day. Let me share this one. I remember I was going to church and I was going to speak. You know, I was in what we call School of the Word here. And I was going to speak. And I was ironing my shirt. And I saw that the collar of the shirt was ripped. Because I think I had only two shirts then. You know, I mean, I didn't come from a very, very low background like that. You know, sometimes when I say this story, it's as if I came from the rocks. But it's not really as bad as that. But whatever, I didn't have more than two shirts then. And I was so sad that day. I was very upset. And my grandmother saw me. She said, "Why are you upset?" I said, "Look at the kind of shirt I have. You know, I almost wanted to complain about God." And she told me, "What is not enough today will be more than enough tomorrow." And so sometimes when I go into my closet now, that every, you don't know how many times I declutter that closet. Every time I travel, I pack shoes, I pack clothes. And almost every, before I come back sometimes, I'm like, "How far with these shoes, though?" You know, one of my mentors said, "It means that I'm going to preach the gospel." It's the gospel of peace. I'm being baptized into the shoe of the gospel of peace. But you see, the main point of that story is this. That was then, but this is now. But I still don't forget then. I don't forget them. Because anybody that forgets the good past may not enjoy the good future. They may not live to see it. The thing about ingratitude is that it wants you to remember the bad present and forget the good past. It wants you to remember the bad present and forget the good past. I'm saying this morning, there is a good past. Forget not all its benefits. And it begins to list them. It begins to list them. I don't have all the time to go through what he was listing there. I just want to say the attitude with which you should praise God. The attitude with which you should give thanks. That's how I want to end this morning. The attitude to which you should give thanks. In that Psalm 100, it shows us the kind of attitude to which you should give thanks. The first kind of attitude is loud thanksgiving. Loud thanksgiving. Let me say this to you. Really, when you are grateful, you shouldn't be quiet. I know that you can give thanks in your heart, but there are some things that are being, when they are done to you, giving thanks to in your heart is a sin. I mean, if I give you a pen, if you give thanks in your heart about it to me, I won't have a problem with that. But if I give you a car and you thank God in, you thank me in your heart, I may collect the car back from you. Because that's how some of us do. You know, we behave as if God knows now. He knows now. He doesn't know. He wants you to say it. And say it very loud. Make it, raise the decibel. Raise the volume. He says, make a joyful noise. Don't just talk. Make a, be exuberant. Be loud. Be lavish. Make a big deal. You gave birth. Who are you to give birth? Who are you to go to delivery room and come with baby? But this is America. Oh my God. Oh my God. There are many stories that touch. Stories that touch. Where a labor of 9 months is labor in vain. And your own was not labor in vain. And I'll say, I want a girl, I want a boy, or I want twins. Excuse me. We should be loud about their thanksgiving. And so this morning, one of the attitudes you should have, I'm going to give it loud. I'm going to ask us to praise God a little different than what we normally do for our normal thanksgiving. I'm going to ask everybody to dance forward. One way or the other. You know, ushers will begin to think about that now. I want everybody to dance forward. It's the new redeemed year, so it qualifies as a new year. Amen? We're starting a new year. The Redeemed Christian Church of God, we close the year in August, and then we start a new one. In September. And there are reasons to give thanks. We want to be loud about it. We want to make noise. And don't let the noise end with this service. Don't let the noise. You see, I like when people give thanks in the company of people. Remember, we started from the fact that when it comes to your praise, it actually has to be individual. It has to be personal. We can't praise God the same way. You see me, the way I shout, the way I know what God has done to me. I know what my life would have been without God. I know where I was going. I was going very fast to know where to go and finish my life. And God caught me and turned me in the right direction. You now think I will not be for me. I will not be feeling like I know what I'm doing. You know, I have two masters. I quiet. Keep quiet. Is it the number of degrees? There are people that have degrees and they are not in the right degree in their mind now. They have certificate to show for you, but they can't even read their name on that certificate. And so you today, your mind is right. And you are now going to praise God with silent treatment. No, we will not accept that one this morning. Today is not silent treatment. Today is not, every one of us have our character, the way we praise God, my personality. Every personality in this church this morning is a loud personality. Can somebody say amen? How should we praise this God? Praise him with loud sound, joyful noise. How should we praise him? The attitude we should have, with gladness. This is the day when you are singing, you are smiling. When you are singing, you are a worship team, you are smiling. You know, sometimes it's possible worship team, they will just be singing as if it's the music director that told, I didn't come here on my own. They told me to do it. So now sing, I will not be silent. I will. Please go back home. You are silent already. You are not loud. You are silent. This is not that day where you will sing and you'll be singing as if, no, we are forcing you. If you don't want to dance forward, it's okay. You can stay where you are. But this morning, we are going to make it loud. We are going to make it glad. We'll come with gladness. There is something about the way you thank that will make the person you are thanking to know that you are grateful. Do you know it's not every thank you that is thank you? Do you know there are some thank you? You say, take your thank you back, please. I don't need it. Because the thank you that you gave me, you didn't give me. You kept the thank you. It's like, take you. Thank you. You know, when my children give me those kind of thank you, come back. Take it. Give me the thank you that I deserve. Which one is that one? You know, so I'm sorry if you don't like that. That's how we play in our house. We just make it real, okay? If you give me the thank you, I don't like it. Don't take me like that. You know how much I bought those things. Come back here. And look at me in the face and tell me thank you like you appreciate it. And that's what God is saying this morning. You are going to be personal about your praise. You are going to be loud about your praise. You are going to be glad about your praise. You are going to come here with gladness in your heart. You are dancing, but you see, you are dancing with everything that God has done in the past. Some of you are dancing with a new year. Some of you are dancing with a new wife. You are dancing with a new husband. You are dancing with a new car. You are dancing with a new job. You are dancing with... You are bringing history. It's not only me that came, oh, we are plenty. You know, the other day I said, we are here. So when you are dancing today, you are coming with that gladness. Ah, see what God has done. And don't mind any other person that is not doing it like you in your front or your back. You can't praise God at the same level. He has done something different to you. He has done something different. If I look at my life and I see what God has done with me and is even set to do with me, I can't praise him like you. If today in this place I sweat and this clothes, I can't wear it again, it's more than that. Because what he has done to me, there are many things I can't. You know, sometimes I was joking with some people yesterday. I said, one day I will just go and line up on that place. If I line up there and share my testimony, some of you will think it's a lie. Because God has been good. And so when I'm dancing today, don't mind me, oh, I'm dancing to the one who is the maker. Who is the maker? Wish the maker. I don't know if there are people that will make some decisions like that with me this morning. We'll have a personal decision that my thank you will carry some character with it this morning. It will not just be a random thank you. It will be a thank you that is thoughtful. It will be a thankful that is loud. It will be a thankful that is a glad something for. Thank you to Jesus because he has been good. Can somebody stand up this morning as we are preparing to say thank you to him? I feel some people need to repent of ingratitude this morning. Ingratitude is a sin. I hope you know that. Many, many people, they are ungrateful. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, the Bible says, in the latter days, many shall be lovers of themselves. Many shall be boastful. And many shall be unthankful. Being unthankful is not just one of those things. It's a sin. This morning, will you repent? Go ahead, go ahead. And just ask God and say, I'm sorry I've made you too small. I'm sorry that my thank you was not good enough because it was not loud. It didn't have gladness in it. I want to add other things to my thank you this morning. I want to add a dance. I want to add a shout. I want to add the fact that you saved me 10, 20 years ago. I want to remember that you have delivered me from iniquity. I want to say thank you to you. Help me this morning. I repent from ingratitude. I repent for not thanking you enough. I repent that my thanksgiving tank is so low. And this morning, by your grace, I make a personal decision that I will raise my voice. I will raise my clap. I will raise my life to give you a thank you.